From the east side to the west, this is From the Land, the Cleveland Sports and More podcast. I'm your host, Jason Gerber, and tonight we are phoning in a short episode for the long holiday weekend, and we are bringing our 40s with us. We are going to stay in the land all night talking Guards, Cavs, and 13 shades of our favorite fall color before getting to a little 4th of July fun. I am joined tonight by two of the best ever. My co-hosts, Phil Danko and Chuck Rambaldo, are here. Fellas, tonight, history is made. I am now the Gus Grissom of the show, the second person to record from a basement. Should we be planning an everyone in their basement episode?
Yes, absolutely. I don't like being down in my basement for more than like 5 minutes at a time. So maybe.
Well, I'm here because my in-laws are staying with us for the 4th of July holiday weekend, and they are upstairs where I normally do this. So I'm in the basement, but I'll tell you what, the Wi-Fi is pretty damn good down here. So I don't know. I might set this up again next week. We'll see. Let's get rolling with a special 4th of July in the land episode. Start where we always do, with our Guardians week cap, our look back at last week's Guardians baseball. And right now, the Guards are hotter than a hot dog on a hot grill at a hot July 4th barbecue. Guards went into Kansas City and took two games from the Royals, could have been three, and took brief control of the Central Division. The next stop on the trip started badly with a dud in Chicago on Friday, but the fireworks were back with a 6-0 shutout win on Saturday. Mother Nature rained on the parade most of Sunday, but the Guards just wrapped up a tougher-than-it-should-have-been win against the Chicago Cubs. Guards finished the week 41-42, tied with the Twins for first place, and with a commanding 16.5-game lead over the Royals. What do you think of Jimenez hitting leadoff in the game today?
I like that guy hitting towards the top of the order, not towards the bottom of it. He's too talented. And you saw today a little bit of that talent where he hit a bomb that on a pitch that no one should be able to hit. So for me, when we've questioned Kwan over the past few weeks, why not give someone else a shot there? And I like the way he looked, at least for one game.
Yeah, if he can reproduce what he did today, day in and day out, he would be the best leadoff hitter in baseball. He looked great today. Nothing wrong with getting a guy more at bats, I guess, throughout the lineup as he's heating up, right? Like, that's good. But I think if Jimenez returns to form that we saw last year or even close to it the second half of the season, that guy's a 3 or a 5 in your lineup, right? Because he hit for decent power, you know, doubles, home runs kind of guy last year. And Kwan is going to get on base. I mean, his average isn't up to like what it was before, but he's kind of the leadoff guy. See a lot of pitches, get on base, let the guys behind him knock him in. But for one day anyway, I like Jimenez in that one spot. He looked really good.
Kwan just really has been struggling for the entire season. And we're at that point now where it's kind of hard to say, like, hey, there's plenty of time for him to turn it around. I mean, the All-Star break is right around the corner. And he really hasn't been hitting the ball that well. He has not been the guy he was last year. And I kind of love the idea of shaking things up a little bit and putting Jimenez in that spot, because I think Jimenez has a lot of the tools that I think you'd love to see in a leadoff hitter. He can hit for average. He can run really well. And he's got a little pop in the bat, too. Now, I think that I like that Danko thinks he's already the best leadoff hitter in baseball, because I'm pretty sure Mookie Betts hits leadoff for the Dodgers. But if Jimenez can just do Mookie Betts today, type of stuff, just based on today.
I don't know what Betts did today.
So
Jimenez is struggling more than Kwan to date, though. You know, I mean, so that your argument that Kwan is struggling, which is,
it feels like Kwan has had a really rough like month. Like, I think he started to turn around a little bit this week,
but
he hasn't been the same dude. So I don't know. I like the idea of Jimenez getting in there a little bit. I don't know. Maybe this is a foolish topic because it's not going to happen again. Kwan might be back in the starting lineup in the leadoff spot tomorrow, but it was kind of fun to see it today. And this is, guys, kind of a special episode. We're here to have a good time. It's a holiday weekend, so we're going to skip over a lot of the stuff we normally do and just hit the highlights. So let's give away our first ever MVDB, our most valuable disgusting brother. First option, Gavin Williams, 7 innings, 1 hit, 6 Ks, no runs in a 2-1 win over the Royals. Second option, Tanner Bibee, 5 2/3, 3 hits, 9 Ks, no runs in a 6-0 win over the Cubs this weekend. So who's your MVDB, your most valuable disgusting brother?
I like both options. In fact, those were the only two names I wrote down in case we had to pick our favorite pitcher of the week. I'm going to go with Gavin Williams, although I watched both of these games and Tanner Bibee was, he looked really good last night, but Gavin Williams gave up 1 hit and walked one dude over the course of 7 complete innings. And the guy is right now should really kind of be rounding out the season in double A, I think, you know, so he's really impressed. And as we mentioned a couple of weeks ago, he looks the part. Major League Baseball lights are not too bright for this guy so far. So we'll see. I'm going to give it to him. He was absolutely disgusting and almost threw a no-hitter.
I like them both equally, but I can't put their names together on the fly. So I'm just going to go with Gavin Williams too, because he legitimately shut them down completely. He pitched an absolute gem. And not that Bibee has a lot of major league experience, but has a smidge more than Gavin Williams.
Couple months.
So
we've gotten so used to Bibee.
Right, yeah. I'm going to give it
to Gavin. We can even say his name right.
Yeah. I'm with you guys. I mean, both of them absolutely awesome. I mean, listen, that's the disgusting brother tradition. Tom and Greg were both amazing guys as well. But I'm giving it to Gavin Williams just because it's such a surprise at his age to see this happening. And he is so electric. That first start, you understand there's a little major league debut nerves. Nothing. In the second start, I mean, just looked dominant, just looked in control the entire time. And I get that he started, I think, against the A's and the Royals. So maybe next time around, we'll give him a shot against a major league team. For now, Gavin Williams has been absolutely fantastic. And it's crazy this team can keep bringing up these young arms and getting this kind of performance from them. I mean, that really makes somebody like Shane Bieber expendable, which is an amazing thing to say. Given how good that guy is. Moving on, let's look over at the offensive side for things. How about our first ever Independence Day Boomstick Award? Which guard carried the biggest boomstick this week? Start apparently where we always have to. Josh Exploding Nads Naylor. The tear continues. He hit well over 300 this week, had 4 doubles, a home run, and drove in the game-winning runs tonight in Chicago. Next one. Jose Smoke Bomb Ramirez, another dude that hit well over 300 this week. He had 6 walks, 6 hits, and he stole home in a game, which was awesome. Next one, Will Firecracker Brennan, another guy over 300, 8 hits, 6 RBIs, including the go-ahead runs and the win over Kansas City. Last one, Miles Skyrocket Straw. He doesn't get on this list very much, but he's hitting around 300 this week. Andy had a 5-game hitting streak. So who's your Independence Day boomstick of the week?
Going back to back to back here, I think. Am I going 3 weeks in a row with Exploding Nads? That was it? No, a guy who's just far exceeded my expectations so far this year, at least in the first half. I would like to see him be rewarded and make that all-star roster, even though he's probably not going to unless somebody gets hurt or says they're not going to go. But, man, he's been solid for – I think we're looking at 2 months now almost, right? So him, Exploding Nads. It's a good name for the fourth, Exploding Nads Naylor.
It's hard to follow last week, man. It really is. I tried, but that was the best I could do. Kept with the theme.
I like that Naylor and Ramirez continuously land on this list week in and week out for the last, what seems like 6 weeks at least. They're both in the top 10 in the American League in RBIs. That's something that kind of surprised me when I looked that up this morning. I'm like, wow, all right, great. I didn't even know we scored that many runs for them to rank that high. I'm going to give it to Will, what was it? Firecracker Brennan? I'm going to give it to Will Firecracker Brennan. That guy, down the lineup, he hit over 300, 8 hits in the week. He is the reason we won the first game in Kansas City with the 2-run double at the end of the game to give us the lead in Gavin Williams, 1-hitter. This is a guy that's been consistent. I think he got a hit or more in every single game in the last week, except for one. So if we can get some consistent performance out of one of our corner outfielders, he might be the new Oscar Gonzalez for this season. So I'm going to give it to Will Brennan because I fear he may not land on the list too frequently.
I was going to give it to Brennan as well, but since you did, I'm going to go ahead and give it to Straw, a guy who I think we always think should be better on offense, and he just never seems to be able to put it together for long stretches. But this was a good week. 5-game hitting streak is a great way for that guy to start. It's nice to pair a little bit of offense with the absolutely outstanding defense that dude always plays. I think that we have thought for at least a year, maybe more, that Josh Naylor is a 270, maybe hit 15 home runs, maybe drive in like 60, 75 RBIs a year. Has he shown enough this year to make you believe that that expectation is too low for him?
Yep. Yes, he has. I think we're seeing someone that's going to hit, let's hope, 285, 290, and about 25 to 30 home runs a year in the middle of our lineup. That would be phenomenal. You never know in the moment, right? Like, a guy has a great season, you're thinking, all right, is this the best we ever see out of this guy, given that he wasn't a highly touted prospect, right? But neither was Jose Ramirez. And we know what to expect from that guy, right? Yeah. Manny Ramirez's younger brother, I think. So, yeah, I think the expectation was too low. I think we should expect higher numbers out of this guy offensively.
I love this dude, but I think the stat line you gave is pretty good. Like, before you said what he is, that's a pretty solid stat line for a Cleveland Guardian who can hit for power, drive and runs, and have a respectable average. He's having an unbelievably great season. I would need a little more. Like, if he stays like this in the second half, and then maybe next year my expectations go up for him. But there's nothing wrong with the first stat line you gave for him. So if it's somewhere in the middle, if it's like a happy medium where maybe he's hitting 30 bombs and hitting 270 instead of 260, whatever that is, it's all icing to me, because I never expected this guy to turn into the player he's turning into over the last season from last year till now.
What we expected for him, I think, is also a very productive stat line. I agree with you. But man, we keep waiting for him to cool down this year, and week after week, he continues to hit, and he hits in the clutch, and he hits late, and he's still doing it. Like, we're at like a month and a half of him hitting over 300, I think. I'm willing to say, like, man, maybe we're getting enough now. He's fully healthy. He's like more than a full year beyond like that really nasty injury. And maybe we can say that this dude could be something like a 300 hitter or something close to it. Maybe 275 is not enough to expect for him to hit that. And he's going to hit for the power. He's going to hit a ton of doubles and stuff like that. I think we've underestimated him. And I think the run that he's been on for the last few weeks is enough to make me think that he may be better than we thought. Obviously, we hope it keeps going. We're going to need more jokes. All right, let's look ahead to next week. The really damn good Braves come to town for 3, followed by the Royals for 4, followed by the All-Star break. Bear with me. I'm going to need your focus right now, guys. This gets a little bit complicated. Last year, Joey Chestnut ate 63 hot dogs on the 4th of July. This week, you're going to bet Guardians wins versus Chestnut hot dogs eaten. Are you taking the Guardians at minus 59 and a half?
What?
Whoa.
63. So what is that? 3.5 wins? Is it 3.5 wins? I'm not good at math. 4.
Well, 4 would get you to 63 and a half. So you would, if you think the Guardians are going to have a winning week. You need
a 4-win week. You know what? I'm going to, And the only reason, the Braves are so good. The Royals are not, but this team keeps stacking wins over the last 3 weeks. So it doesn't matter who they're playing, and they have the 4th best record in baseball for the month of June. So I would take that bet. I think they can get to 4 this week, so I'll take it.
I'm taking it 4 wins this week out of 7 games. I'm tempted to go 5, but I'll take the 4 since that's the line.
Relax.
Yeah.
1 against Atlanta, all 4 against Kansas City. Do the math.
I just hope Chestnut doesn't eat more than 63. I'm taking the Guards minus 59 and a half. Anytime you get 59 and a half, you got to take it. It's a lot of points.
It's true.
That's right.
All right, fellas, let's move on. Let's talk some Cavs, because it was obviously a very busy weekend in free agency for the Cavs. And apparently now they have like a whole new bench. The Cavs moves over the last few days. They re-signed Caris LeVert 2 years, $32 million. They signed Georges Niang, 3 years, $26 million. Traded for center Damian Jones from Utah, 1 year, $2.5 million. Signed guard Ty Jerome from the Warriors, 2 years, $5 million. And the big move, sign and trade that sends Seti Osman, Lamar Stevens, and a second round pick packing in exchange for Max Strus at 4 years, $63 million. Scale of 1 to 5. 1 being General George fucking Washington. 5 being that bum General Charles Cornwallis. How do you rate these moves?
On paper, I'll go to one. I'll go to the best.
Whoa, first president of the United States won the revolution. That's yes. That's how big you think this was?
On paper, I said on paper because they addressed real needs and got shooters, which is great. They got younger, which is great. And they re-signed LeVert on a really team-friendly contract, which is great. A guy who did anything that team asked of him last year, and his three percentage was career high. His shots were career high for three. So I like what they did. I don't know if the other two guys work out here. You know, like the role player, the center is a backup dude. He's way more athletic than who was there, Lopez. You know, like he's way more athletic than that guy. So that works. Yeah. I like that they're addressing issues. It seems a lot like what the Browns do in the offseason. Look at the issues, and they still need a small forward, but still, it's a one for me because I didn't realize, like, this is the first time I paid real close attention to NBA free agency, and it's insanity. It is insanity. Oh, yeah. On Friday, and the money that some of these guys get is crazy. So I looked at all those deals and said, hey, They're somewhat team friendly. I know they really wanted the Max Strus guy. They got him. I know they tried to trade for the dude from the Sixers, Niang, and they got him. So on paper, it's a one.
I don't know if I could put it at a one because we did not end up with Giannis and Damian Lillard. But
Damian Lillard's still out there.
Yeah. But yeah, that's right. It's not over yet.
Yeah. Ohtani can still come. Yeah.
That's right. That's right.
There's
that's
moves right. to be made.
But I agree with what Chuck's saying. I'm going to rate it really high. I'm going to give it like a 1.5, I think, because forget even the moves they made today, just the Max Strus, the George Niang, and the LeVert re-signing, those three things that addressed every need we had to fill in this offseason. We got two shooters that will probably come off the bench. Maybe Max Strus starts. He might be your starting small forward, but if not, him or Okoro, right? You're one guy's coming off the bench, one guy's starting. Good position to be in. You got shooters that are going to just open up the floor for guys like Caris LeVert, guys like Donovan Mitchell, you know? So I'm really happy with what they did. None of these contracts are ridiculous either. I was really happy that they re-signed LeVert. I thought that was the one of the better things they did there because that's a known commodity, a guy that has been that energy guy on this team. So yeah, I'll leave it at a 1.5.
It's something that when you say these deals aren't crazy, and I agree with you, it's just the money in the NBA is so wild now.
It's absurd. Yeah.
That like George Niang is a good 3-point shooter. He averages like 8 points a game and he's got a contract that's going to pay him $26 million now. Like that his doesn't exist anywhere else minivan. In the universe.
Did you know that? Did you know his name is the minivan?
It's a good I had no idea. Oh man, that's so, just changed my score a little bit in the good minivan. Way.
Is that a good nickname or a bad nickname? I have no idea.
I think it's a great nickname. I think that's a great nickname.
But for a good or bad reason, I have no idea.
I'm probably at about like a 2, something in there. I don't know if I'm as high as you guys. I feel like part of this, and it's Niang and it's Strus. Neither of these guys are very good defenders. And all of a sudden, are we starting to get away from what we think has made the Cavs so good in the last couple of years is that they play better defense than anybody in the NBA. Now we making a choice to get in 3-point shooting and give up something on that defense. I get why that needs to happen. I get that was a hole on the offensive side last year, but I don't love that. What I do really like about this is I feel like they've kind of sneakily added a bunch of playoff experience. Niang, Jones, and Strus all have like really significant playoff experience, maybe not necessarily runs to the finals other than Strus, obviously, but a lot of playoff experience that we were lacking. So I like that part of these moves. I love keeping LeVert. I think the second half of the year, that dude found his role as the sixth man, and they still need that, and they still need him to be that. And I really love the fact that he's going to be there. So I'm a two. Maybe I'm talking myself into a 1.75 or something like that. All right. How about odd men out? Dean Wade, Raul Neto, Ricky Rubio, Dylan Windler, Mamadi Diakite. Which of these guys is out now based on these moves?
Oh, man. So you're looking at shooting wing players. So I'm thinking like a Windler, maybe a Dean Wade. Although Dean Wade can play the four a bit. So I think a Windler is probably done there. The other guys are you know, Rubio. Who'd you say Rubio? And there's another guard in there. I think
Neto.
Raul Neto.
Yeah.
So those
Neto,
guys,
Neto.
Yeah.
Neto.
Those guys serve a purpose running.
Owl Neto.
Those guys both serve a purpose running the point off the bench. So I think you try to hold those guys on your bench, but I think like a Windler or a Wade are probably not long for this roster.
Probably Windler, and I would say Neto or Neto, only if Rubio kind of bounces back. He's older, man, and that's a pretty big injury.
Yeah,
and it's not his first injury, and he just wasn't the same dude he was the year before for the Cavs, which I'd like to say, I mean, if that guy gives you like 15 minutes, 12 to 15 minutes a night, he's a productive floor general. So I think you cut the dead weight, which I know we like Neto for like a week.
He's scrappy. We love it.
But I think those dudes might be, those two might be odd men out, Wilder and Neto.
You know, I don't think that Kobe Altman can quit Dylan Windler quite this fast. So I actually think Windler will be around. I really think it's Neto and Rubio. I think this Ty Jerome guy from the Warriors is the guy that they're kind of expecting to be the backup point guard. And like Rubio is just not the same guy, and nor should anybody expect him to be. And I don't think they didn't use Neto a lot last year when I think they could have. I just don't think that the franchise buys that dude as an answer as a bench player. So I have a feeling it's probably one of the guards that is going to be the odd man out. Although it wouldn't shock me if Dean Wade was out too. Well, actually they signed him to a 3-year deal last year. He's making real money. So they'll keep him around for something. Pretty big disappointment last year, I think, for the Cavs. All right, fellas, we're going to move on from the NBA. You're not going to believe this. It's time for 13 Shades of Brown. Our 13-week preview of the Browns 2023 season, and we're already late. 10 weeks from tonight, Browns will open their season against the Bengals.
Oh my god!
10 weeks away. We've already lost 3 weeks of our 13-week preview. With 10 weeks to go, we've got to accelerate things. We've got to get serious about this. What do you think is the biggest question mark right now heading into training camp for the Browns?
Ooh, can Deshaun Watson perform at the level he did before he stopped playing football for over a year? If he can, this front office has given him the best roster that this team has seen since they came back in 1999. Can he be 75% of that player he was? If he can be, this team can be pretty dangerous. That's it. And maybe the linebacker core. Maybe there's some issues there, but ultimately, all we're talking about here is offense. Can Deshaun Watson be the guy that he used to be?
Yeah, if Deshaun is not who we're paying him to be, everything is not fine. Everything is not fine. So let's assume he is that guy. He's the starting quarterback. What Chuck just said at the end there is what I was going to go with. The linebacker depth is a big question mark. We can't keep that squad healthy year in and year out. Now we've got some guys coming back from injury. We've got some depth on paper there right now because they're healthy because it's the off season. So we got to keep them healthy though. You know, I saw something earlier today that they were interested in Miles Jack. That would be awesome. So go sign that dude. Let's add a little bit of depth to a guy that has been a perennial, 100 tackle a year linebacker in the NFL. I'm all for that. So I'm a little worried about the linebacker depth. I don't know if the linebacker position is becoming the running back of the defense, though. So I don't really know. I don't really know what to think about that. So I'm going to lean towards linebacker depth, assuming Deshaun Watson is a starting quarterback in the NFL.
I'm a little bit with Denko in the idea that I guess I'm not worried about Deshaun Watson. I think that dude is a talent. I think that it was hard to expect much from him at the end of last year. I really do think he's going to be fine. My issue is still the defense. You know, 2 years ago, we thought they made a bunch of smart moves to sign players on that defense, and a lot of them kind of washed out. You know, the John Johnsons of the world, you know, they did not live up to expectations. And we know that all offseason, they made moves that on paper looked great. Everything is fine. All these things seem really smart. Let's see if it actually pans out. Like, I think my biggest question is about the defense, maybe specifically about the secondary. And can those guys that we've brought in perform the way we need them to? Because I really think if you look back over the course of last year, our issue wasn't the offense. Our issue usually was the defense. Even when Jacoby Brissett was a quarterback, that was the issue. The defense was the problem. And that's, I think, the question that I see is, can they right the ship on that side of the ball? And damn, if they do, scary potential for this team. What player are you most looking forward to seeing play for the Browns next season?
Deshaun Watson.
That's a good one. I'm going to go with David Njoku.
So stupid. It's a terrible answer.
Why is that terrible?
A tight end who's going to catch 4 balls a game. Give me a break.
No. No. I think he catches more.
You're all in on David Njoku again
season. I wasn't all in on him before. I think they address some wide receiver stuff. I think that's going to open it up for him a little bit more. That's why I think he becomes a little bit more part of this off. That's all. And there were times like, there's not times just last year, the year before, where he shows that he could be an elite tight end.
Yeah.
And that's why I expect everything from everybody else to continue to do their job. He's the guy I can see who can continue to grow. That's why.
I want to apologize. That was the 40 talking. That wasn't a fair way to respond to your answer. I'm with Phil. It's Deshaun Watson, man. I'm ready to see a stud play quarterback for the Browns. A guy who can change games and win games with his arm and with his legs. I think he's that dude. That's the dude I'm looking forward to seeing the most. David Njoku is second on my list. But fellas, we've talked about a lot of sports already, but it is 4th of July weekend. It is the best holiday of the summer. It is one of the best days of the entire year. So let's have a little 4th of July fun. Tell me what you think is the best all-time 4th of July t-shirt. First one, these colors don't run. Chuck's favorite. Next one, time to get Star Spangled Hammered. That's a classic. Next one, just here to bang. Not sure if you know that. That's like a firework sexual innuendo joke right there. Last one is, I celebrate the 4th with a 5th. What do you think is the best 4th of July t-shirt?
Oh, man. I'm going to go with these colors don't run, because the other three, I just envisioned the person wearing those shirts, and I threw up a little bit in my mouth. So these colors don't run. That's my vote.
For the same reasons as Phil's saying, like, anybody wearing those other ones are smoking like a Marlboro Red. So, yeah, these colors don't run is timeless. The other ones could be offensive depending on the company you're keeping. So I'm going with the classic.
I'm going with I celebrate the 4th with a 5th, because I saw somebody in town today wearing it, and it gave me the idea for this question. And it wasn't far from what you guys are saying. All right, moving on. Now we're going to play a little game. Fuck yeah or fuck you. So fuck yeah if you're into it. Fuck you if you're not. 4th of July traditions. First one, read the Declaration of Independence out loud to a group of people.
Fuck you. Unless I'm watching National Treasure and they're trying to steal it, I don't care.
Don't care.
Yeah, fuck you. fuck off. We don't need to read that shit. Yes.
I'm going to go fuck yeah. This is one of the founding documents of our nation. I would love to make my kids listen to me read the Declaration of Independence out loud on the 4th of July. All right, next one. Sparklers as an adult.
Are the kids around or no?
No.
Oh, fuck you. It should be like an M80 or something can blow a digit off. So, no.
I mean, generally speaking, sparklers are cool. I'll say fuck yeah, man. You move them around. You write your name in the sky, whatever.
Fuck you. I'm not interested.
Not dangerous enough.
Sparklers anymore. It's just for like kids. Like there's nothing cool about it. All right, next one. 4th of July lobster races that you can gamble on in Bar Harbor, Maine.
Well, we're all degenerate gamblers now on this podcast. Yep. So I'm going to assume these lobsters are treated humanely and the winner.
Yes.
Yeah, of course. Right. Yeah, of course. So yeah, if we're betting on dogs and horses, let's bet on some lobsters.
Yeah. Gambling makes everything better, especially on America's birthday.
All right. So three fuck yeahs for lobster races. All right. Last one, creating patriotic crafts.
You, I'm gonna burn it down with my sparkler.
Again, are the kids involved?
Yeah, kids can be involved.
Kids are involved, it's a fuck yeah, because you know, like little flags, or you decorate the bike or the wagon, whatever, for the parade, makes sense. If there's the kids around, it's a fuck yeah.
I'm a fuck yeah as a past champion of a bike decorating contest on the 4th of July when I was about 4 years old. I'm into that. All right, moving on. Want you guys to tell me, we're going to play a little quiz game. Founding father who signed the Declaration of Independence or pro athlete? First one, William Floyd.
Jeez. Is that an old surname in this country? Is Floyd an old surname? I'm going to say pro athlete.
Pro athlete.
You're both wrong. Founding father, William Floyd, signed the Declaration of Independence. He was a wealthy farmer back in the day. All right, next one. John Oscar Dickshott. Athlete or founding father?
I hope he's a founding father.
I hope so too.
I hope he really is, but I'm going to say pro athlete.
Dickshott better be a founding father.
All right, he was an athlete. He was a baseball player. He was nicknamed Ugly Johnny Dickshott.
Last name wasn't bad enough.
Yeah, right. He's ugly too.
The Pittsburgh Pirates gave Dickshott a significant role in 1937, but Dickshott was used sparingly in 1938. We've all been there. All right, next one. Caesar Rodney, founding father or pro athlete?
Pro athlete. Caesar?
Yeah, I'm going to say pro athlete.
Both of you are wrong. Oh, God. Caesar Rodney is a founding father, signed the Declaration of Independence, and was known for having humor of the pleasing kind. Which I believe is the opposite of Miller. Last one, Walter A. Latham, athlete or founding father?
I'm over right now, but I'm going to say founding father because there's a Walter A. Latham, and hundreds of years ago, middle initials were important. So that's the only, I know I'm wrong, but I'm saying founding father.
That sounds like a founding father, and I think you're trying to screw with us. So I'm going to go with pro athlete.
Phil is right. The A stand for Arlie. He was known as Arlie Latham. He played baseball in Chicago in the 1890s. He was known as the dude, the freshest man on earth, and the hustler from Hustle Town. And he had a song written about him that he would sing during games. And it went like this.
Oh,
I'm a daisy on the diamond. I'm a dandy on the stage. I'd ornament a horse cart or look pretty in a cage. I'm the hustler from Hustle Town, the freshest man on earth. Walter A. Latham. There you go. Pro athlete.
Ravishing Rick Rude. Ravishing Rick Rude of baseball. Who is this guy?
With all of that behind us, do you have a favorite, like, nostalgic 4th of July memory from when you were growing up as a kid?
You know, I'm bad at this because I never got Easter baskets.
Your family didn't celebrate anything
for Christmas. No, I don't think I had any, like, there were no real kind of traditions on the 4th of July. I can remember maybe seeing fireworks once or twice. Just it was another day. Maybe we didn't have to work. That was the only difference.
I'm going to say going to see fireworks as a little kid. Before I moved out to the suburbs, we would venture off to the Euclid fireworks, and they were right at Euclid High School Stadium, and they were fantastic. But what I remember from those years of going to see those fireworks is there was an actual military tank, like on the grounds of the fireworks. It was some memorial, and I would just climb on the tank. I'd be hanging all over the turret and, you know, moving around a tank. I'm like, this is the coolest thing I've ever seen. So that's my fondest memory of 4th of July.
I'm really glad you had a childhood. I'm like, Chuck, I don't know. Yeah. Like, Chuck's been working since he was 9.
That's right. Yeah.
In my neighborhood, you guys remember there was like the Bass Lake, and there was like the clubhouse down there and the big field that was down like right by the lake. It was a big place for celebrating on the 4th of July, the big community events. And there was a father-son softball game, and then there was a men's softball game. And I think my fondest memory of the 4th of July was when we were in high school and I was finally old enough and big enough to play in the men's softball game. Maybe the summer between like sophomore and junior year. So by then, like, you know, I was playing, I could play. It was just awesome to play with all the men, to get a hit, you know, catch some balls in the outfield and stuff like that. I thought for sure all the girls would be very impressed that I was playing in the men's game. That did not happen to the best of my knowledge, but that's my memory. Playing with my dad in the men's 4th of July game at Bass Lake was pretty cool. But fellas, we are out of time. I am out of questions for now. And we just did the whole show without mentioning that Pepsi just unveiled Cola Chup, a new cola-flavored condiment for hot dogs. With that news that rubbing it in the dirt is no longer the best way to ruin a hot dog, I hope you guys have a great week, a great fourth.
Yeah.
Let's get together and do this again real soon.
Absolutely.
I was telling Denko, this is something that they sell at, we got out of it. So it's, Naylor booted two balls too. This is a, Tammy sells this at her store. It's marble. I don't know if you can tell.
It's for wine.
Yeah. It's a wine chiller. And so she's like, put it in the freezer like an hour before you're going to go down there and it'll keep your 40 cold. I took it out of the freezer. It was so cold. Like I thought I needed gloves to take it downstairs.
Oh God, that first sip, you know, it's hard.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, might as well then.
Second one's already better.
Yeah. Yeah. Might be a challenge to get through these things. Cause we're just doing a short show. Like 40 minutes. Well,
If we wait for this game to end, we might not start for 40 minutes.
I know. Yeah.
Better put it on then. Jeez, oh man, I was like literally wrote down notes like,
yeah,
the weekly summary. That's
I know what a great man. Way to wrap things up, man. Like,
might all be changing.
How did Classy just I've gave actually up four runs?
This is probably my fault because I actually already wrote that they were 41 and 42 at the end of the week and tied for first, and I may have fucked that up for everybody.
They're pitching to him, huh?
They are. I'm challenging
them. They absolutely are, yeah.
Maybe he can make up for his shitty bottom of the ninth.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, hitting a bomb right now would be the most Naylor thing to have happen.
This pitcher for the Giants like scrapes his knuckles submarine pitching.
You're watching the Giants play?
on the TV, Mets and Giants are on ESPN.
Oh, okay. Oh, okay.
I'm watching the guards on my phone.
Oh, that's right, because everything about watching the Guardians in Cleveland sucks. Oh, base hit.
You're a little ahead of me. Oh, right through his legs.
Two run score, baby. Attaboy, right, Nats.
He made up for his
if in the long run the worst thing that happens is we start to record 15 minutes later than we would have, I'm okay with it.
Yeah,
I'll let that go. Boy, he went up to get that one too. That wasn't even a strike.
You see you see the pitch that Jimenez hit out?
Crazy.
Earlier? Yeah.
It was like chin high.
Yeah. Yeah. He smoked it too, man. Like it was.
He's having a good game. Love to see him get going a little bit offensively, right?
In the leadoff spot too.
Yeah.
I like him. Oh, sorry.
I already got enough rewriting to do as it stands. What is like, what is Lebanese food? Like, what's the meal, Chuck?
I assume,
just get the kibbe.
Yeah. If you like raw meats, go that way. If you like
raw cooked, meat and onions,
you can still get it cooked.
How wouldn't they cook it?
They do sometimes. There's two versions of it, raw and cooked.
If you're a pussy cooked,
that's right. but a lot of times, like Arabic, they'll have like a lot of falafel and stuff like that.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
They'll they'll have that. A lot of chickpea stuff.
Yeah.
Tons of hummus. Tons of.
Yeah.
A lot of olives, probably.
Yeah. But it's some of the best food, though. It really is. It's really flavorful. It's really good.
Yeah. You don't like any of this. This is the worst week of this dog's life every year, man. Yeah. Like the 4th of July weekend is such a zoo for her.
Oh,
all right. And that was an ugly way to finish it, but they got the final.
Maybe I don't need to change my recap.
Really nice and cold. I highly recommend you coming to Ludington, stopping at House on Hanson Boutique and buying yourself a marble wine chiller for your 40.
Yeah, remarket this for a 40 chiller, right? Like, I like that. Yeah. That's all. I'll get that next time I'm up there. I'm doing it.
I don't think that she is going to be changing that marketing. I don't really know that that's the vibe she's going for in the store, but you can use it for whatever you want to keep cold, Tommy boy.
Yes, whatever you'd like to keep cold. I will get one the next time I'm there and another Buddha head.
All right. Good deal.
Jeez. Every time I look up, someone's getting hit by a pitch. Sorry.
Stop looking up. By the way, Gus Grissom was the second American who ever went into space after Alan Shepard, before John Glenn.
Oh,
I'm reading a book about it right now. So I knew that. Yeah.
Nice. Dropping some wisdom on all of our listeners.
Yeah. We'll see if anybody ever listening to it picks that up and oh yeah, I know Gus Grissom. Yeah. Center field for the Tribe, late 90s. No, that was Marquise Grissom. That was his grandson. Oh, boy. All right, boys.
All right, guys.
We're calling it. I'm going to bed. I'm not sleeping in the basement. Yeah.
Do it.
Yeah. Yeah. You guys have a great rest of the holiday, long weekend. Have a great 4th.
All right, brothers.
Have some fun. Love you, fellas.
Right. Love you.
Love you guys. All right. Bye. Good night.
Funny like a clown here to amuse you?